The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Anthony Davis finalized a five-year, or was finalized, a five-year, $190 million max deal to stay with the Lakers. Clutch Sports CEO and founder Rich Paul told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, the deal includes an early termination option prior to the fifth season of the deal, 2024-25, according to Rich Paul. AD is a free agent, and he's expected to sign the contract as soon as Thursday. Remember a couple, what was it, about a week ago when he mentioned on a podcast, everything's on All the Smoke, right? Matt Barnes, killing it. But I forgot where he said it, but he was like, oh, right now I'm not with anybody. And Lakers fans are like, what? You start getting just a little nervous because he's from Chicago, right? He considered several short and long-term contract scenarios before landing on accepting a full five-year maximum offer, sources said. At 27 years old, Anthony Davis is the co-star of the Lakers with LeBron James. And by the way, the centerpiece of the franchise's long-term future, and at a certain point he's going to get the keys to the car, right? Well, before we even get to where this, like LeBron and AD, in the all-time great point guard slash big combinations or backcourt, frontcourt combinations, number one is what? Magic Kareem? Number two is what? Kobe Shaq? Or do you have that reversed? Is this number three? I mean, think about it. Jerry West, Wilt Chamberlain, they're all Lakers. And here's the crazy thing, Lakers fans. AD needed championships. Chips, plural. To start entering the greatest power forward ever conversation. Because he's got the skills, right? But Tim Duncan did too. And Tim Duncan's got five chips. Well, AD's got one now. How many does he need to win with the Lakers before he starts entering that conversation? Who's the greatest power forward of all time? Because right now it's Tim Duncan. How many more does AD need to enter that conversation? Two more? You're going to get him now with the Lakers over the long run, you would think. And here's the thing. Forget about Mount Rushmores for a second, right? Because Mount Rushmore for a lot of teams is finding guys who belong on it, like the Clippers. Who's on the Clippers' Mount Rushmore? You know? Is DeAndre Jordan on the Clippers' Mount Rushmore? The Lakers, it's really an exercise in editing, in making tough choices. Who's off the Lakers' Mount Rushmore? Forget Mount Rushmore for a second, right? I mean, the guys on that are Magic and Kobe. Those two are on. And then you got a whole bunch of guys to choose from. Like, I guess you can limit it to on court, but Jerry West, tough not to put him there. Mr. Clutch, the logo, MVP, finals MVP on a losing team, champion with the Lakers, and then the greatest GM ever, or executive in basketball, arguably ever, like hard to leave him off. But then what about Kareem, or what about Shaq? And there's so many guys. But forget about the Mount Rushmore. Just consider this, Lakers fans. Let's go 1 through 5, all time. Who's the greatest point guard of all time? The answer is Magic Johnson, clearly. Who's the greatest two guard? Well, it's Michael Jordan, but who's next to Jordan? Who came closest to Jordan? Kobe Bryant. Who's the best three of all time? Greatest three. It was once upon a time Larry Bird. It's not anymore. It's LeBron James. Who's the greatest center of all time? Well, you could argue Bill Russell before the modern era. You know, three-point shot absorption of the ABA teams into the NBA. Or, in the modern era, it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Laker. Won 5 of his 6 chips with the Lakers. Spent at least half his prime with the Lakers. He's a Laker more than a Milwaukee Buck, obviously. And by the way, what else is he? UCLA Bruin. It's all L.A. And so, but who's his competition coming from? Shaq, Laker. Wilt, Laker. 1 through 5. Now, the only spot was like, Powell was a great player. He's not one of the top 2 or 3 greatest power forwards ever, but he was a great player. James Worthy, you want to say, okay, let's put LeBron at the 4 and call him the greatest. Then who's at the 3? Worthy. James Worthy's a great player. He's not one of the 2 or 3 greatest small forwards of all time. But AD, AD's good. Is he going to be right there with Tim Duncan? Is he going to be considered the best? Like, do you understand? The Lakers 1 through 5, Magic, Kobe, LeBron, AD, and Kareem. Shaq's coming off the bench. Is there, like, could you even construct a starting five that could play with that team that aren't Lakers? What do you do? It's insane. It's insane how great this franchise is. And just to think that Dr. Buss passes away, the greatest owner in the history of American team sports by far, and Dr. Jerry Buss leaves the team to Jeannie and Jim and his kids. And the way he structured it, it seemed to me like he wanted to use this family business, because the Lakers aren't owned by some faceless corporation, right? This is a family business. They don't make their money through something else, and this is a vanity project. No, this is how they earn a living, right? It's a nice living, but still. And I think he was using the family business to try and keep his family together after his death, after his passing. And I think Jeannie Buss, as a responsible family member and a good daughter, was trying her best to heed her father's wishes, essentially his dying wishes, right? And keep Jim in as head of basketball operations. In fact, I thought she did that 1 year longer than she ought to have. But she eventually has to make the move. It's not working. And she takes over. And what has happened since then? How long did it take her to get the Lakers to a championship? 3 years. In 3 years, she got the Lakers to a championship with help from Magic Johnson and the Pacific Ocean. Sure, LeBron James wanted to come to the Lakers. But I think LeBron and the rest of the league were looking like, when are the Lakers going to be competently run? And when Jeannie bounced Jim, nothing against Jim, I'm just, this is my analysis of how the league perceived it. I think players around the league thought, and importantly, LeBron James thought, yeah, I'll go there now. Because who doesn't want to be in LA and with the greatest franchise in the history of basketball? So it took her 3 years to win a chip. Jeannie with the handcuffs off, after doing the right thing by her father and her family, said, you know what, I got to do the right thing by my larger family, right? The LA and Lakers Nation, so to speak. And took her 3 years to win a chip, and they're working on a repeat because they look on paper like the best team in basketball. And now they have LeBron, who was signed up for this year anyway. Now they have LeBron for two additional years, so for three more years. He'll be 40 years old when this contract's over. And he's still like playing at MVP level, still the best player in the game. I didn't think he was after that injury last year. I thought, okay, age is going to catch up to him. He didn't have the playoffs to prove he's still the best. But then this year he did have the playoffs to prove he's still the best, and he proved he's still the best. And AD might be second. AD's right there. And the Lakers have both of them. And I got to give credit. Kendrick Perkins brought this up on First Take today. Rob Pelinka, and I was very suspicious of that hire originally because I always thought Kobe Bryant was one day going to own the Lakers. And I saw it as a sort of a power struggle between Magic and LeBron and Kobe, who's going to have the most juice. And understand, what this really is, Clutch Sports decides who wins the championships now because Rich Paul has LeBron James and AD and a bunch of guys, but especially LeBron. So a couple years ago when KCP signed with the Lakers 1 year, $17 million, because the Lakers had some money, I looked at that and I was on Afternoon Drive with Marcellus, Max and Marcellus in L.A. I looked at that and thought, oh, there, that's it. LeBron's coming to L.A. Those Clutch Sports clients are getting taken care of. Scratch my back, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. One hand washes the other and both wash the face. And sure enough, then LeBron came, right? And brings AD eventually. But I was suspicious of Rob Pelinka because even though that was a Clutch Sports, kind of an inside job, I then looked and I thought, why is, like, if Ty Lue wants the job, why, if that was LeBron's guy, at least in Cleveland, like, why didn't he get the job? And Rob Pelinka's the GM? Magic has moved out? Well, I guess Magic ain't going to own the Lakers. Now we're down to Kobe and LeBron. Kobe outmaneuvered LeBron is how I took it, Pelinka being Kobe's guy. So I didn't really have a lot of faith in Pelinka, but he's done a superb job. Superb job. Kendrick Perkins brought it up on First Take. Look at what Pelinka did in this offseason. Perk was calling him aggressive. He was. Dennis Schroeder is an ascending player coming off his best year defensively and shooting the three, and he's athletic and dynamic, you know, especially as runner-up sixth man of the year. Montrezl Harrell, sixth man of the year. Lakers got them both. And Montrezl probably took a little less money than he otherwise would have gotten to play on the Lakers. And here's the thing. Sixth man a lot of times means, well, if he was better, he'd be starting. Okay, so they got two of the best non-starters in basketball to go with the two best starters in basketball. That's a hell of an offseason for the Lakers. That was Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Keyshawn Johnson joins me on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Key, what was your reaction to the AD signing?
Yeah, I don't have a reaction. That's fine. I mean, what did you think? He wasn't going to sign?
I thought he was going to sign. Nevertheless, he did. So what's your reaction?
I don't really have one. It's like, oh, okay, they got it done. I mean, I knew they were going to get it done. So by knowing they was going to get it done, I never really was like stressed out about it like a lot of other people.
I wasn't stressed either, but I have to admit, Key. I wasn't stressed either, but I have to admit, my eyebrows raised when he said, "Hey, I'm not a Laker technically right now." Because I was thinking, wait, why would he say that? Obviously, they're going to get something done in L.A. Your eyebrows weren't raised by that comment?
Not at all. Not one bit. I think it's cool to play with the media and have everybody guessing and talking about it. And that's what I felt the entire time, Max, is that he was just doing, you know, following the protocol of clutch management and what they like to do and how they like to do things.
So here's my thought about AD and LeBron together, Key. They're arguably the best and second best player in basketball. I mean, you could argue AD is two, LeBron's one. They join Kobe and Shaq and Wilt and Jerry West and Kareem and Magic as the next great pair of backcourt player, frontcourt great. And the Lakers right now are in the position they're normally in, which is the rest of the league is looking up at them, but not just for this season. For the next three, at least with LeBron, and five with AD, they're set up right now.
They are set up for a nice, you know, five-year type run situation to be in the mix every single year of the Western Conference Final. They're so much better than everybody else in the Western Conference Final. When just a couple years ago, the Western Conference was the elite of the elite, where it's shifted now to the East, it feels like, and the Lakers are the one team in the West that you would lay your money down that would come out of the West every single year for the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years. That's the way they set it up. That is, I mean, you think about it, LeBron James, KCP, Montrezl Harrell, all of these guys are all under the tutelage of Rich Paul and clutch management. And so that's fascinating in itself.
Meantime, the Steelers, Key, win, but Tomlin kind of chews out the team publicly afterward, talking about it's a terrible performance. I'm going to give you my take. I want you to react. Tell me what you think. I think it's the best thing that could have happened to the Steelers, because Steelers-Ravens always going to be a tough game. End of last year, Steelers were playing for a +500 record. Ravens sat all the starters and still beat the Steelers by 18. Now, they had Big Ben for this game, but they got ready, they had to wait, and it's still a rivalry game. The fact that they got by with a W but probably feel almost like they took an L is probably the best thing that could happen to an undefeated team who now has a short week and has to get ready for a Washington team that's capable of upsetting the apple cart. So I like the fact that they won the way they did, you know, from the point of view of a Steelers fan. What's your thought about the Steelers' performance?
Well, the performance wasn't very good. A win is a win is a win. We take the W, but we have a lot to clean up in all three phases of the game, special teams. We missed PATs. We fumbled punt returns. We fumbled quarterback fumbles, interceptions, or whatever the case is, 70-something yard touchdowns at the end of the game, long runs to quarterbacks that shouldn't have no business being able to do that on the Steelers' defense. And so there's some things you need to clean up. You got out of there with a W against a shorthand team with the Ravens. And so it's extremely important for them to clean up their act, because if they don't, because I walked away from it last night, yesterday better yet, they didn't show me anything that made me say, oh, wow, man, they're going to do something to Kansas City. Nothing at all.
Meantime, you know what the most disturbing thing for me was? Because, look, I can cut them some slack based on the way the schedule's gone. They had to postpone for the Titans. They had to use their bye up early. They had to change their schedule. They had to keep getting ready, let down. Get ready, let down. For the Ravens, Baltimore doesn't have Lamar Jackson. It's all upside down. And usually the Steelers beat you like the way the Patriots used to. They're going to beat you in two of the three phases. If offense isn't working, they'll get you on defense and special teams, et cetera. But they were bad all three, like you said. The most disturbing part for me, though, was Ben Roethlisberger's decision-making, Key. Like, he made bad decisions yesterday, especially the end of that game. The pass he threw that kind of iced it could have easily been a pick six. What do you think about Roethlisberger's decision-making, and what do you think's going on there?
Dropped a bunch of balls when he was throwing them. The pass at the end of the game was such a beauty. I don't want to say if you know anything about football, because I don't want to do you like that. But if anybody knows anything about quarterbacking, he manipulated the football. It wasn't a floater like that. He timed it so that Washington can run underneath it. He placed that ball where he needed to place it perfectly. Perfectly.
By the way, that part was obvious to anyone that it was a beautifully thrown ball. I'm talking about the decision to force it there. You don't find that a dangerous pass to make?
No, because he knew that there's two things that could happen in that situation. He's trusting the receiver to come down with it, but he's also trusting the receiver, if he can't come down with it, to make sure it doesn't get intercepted.
Why even take that chance up in the game at that point, though? Not a lot of time left.
Because you believe in that positional player at that point in time in the game.
Okay, let's move on to L.A. Do you think Jared Goff, listening to Coach McVay talk about, like, when he was asked about Goff, he did not just definitively say, there's no way I'm benching Jared Goff, blah, 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 get out of here. You think Goff is in danger of getting benched?
No, not at all. He won't bench him. He's not going to bench him.
Why do you think he answered the question that way instead of just being definitive? No, we're not benching Jared Goff. What are you, crazy?
Well, I don't think he answered it any other way that you would answer a question when somebody asks you, did you ever think about benching him? He said no. Like, what is he supposed to say? He's supposed to say, well, we thought about it for a minute there, and then we decided that, let's just stick it out. No.
Do we have the sound from that, Raj?
Jared Goff's had a few bad moments, and I think Jared Goff is a hell of a quarterback, and he's just got to get through those few bad moments that he continuously has here and there in games.
I'm interested in your comment right there, Key. When you say hell of a quarterback, you think Goff is a hell of a quarterback? Do you think he's a top 10 guy, a Super Bowl worthy, the guy who can win you a Super Bowl? What do you like about him?
Absolutely. Well, when he's on, he's on. He has a nice arm. Strong arm. He takes a beating and keeps on ticking. I have no problems with Jared Goff at all. None. Zero.
Who's the best team in the NFC, Key?
None. The best team in the NFC is the Saints.
Agreed. You think who's after the Saints? You think that Seattle's defense is good enough?
I think it's Saints, Seattle, Packers are the top three.
Well, those are my top three also. Look at that. Finally, we agree on something. Saints, Seattle, and Green Bay in that order. The great Keyshawn Johnson, ladies and gentlemen.
We agree on a lot of things. You say Mike Tyson should get in shape and come back to be the heavyweight champion of the world, don't you?
No, I do not. Are you crazy? Get in
shape. I heard you say that live on First Take.
You never heard me say that. I think Mike Tyson can keep on putting on entertaining exhibitions if you put him in with small old guys, and he should. That's what he wants to do. Good for him. It was fun seeing him. Did you watch it? Did you buy it?
Not wasted my money, man.
It wasn't a waste. You weren't entertained.
No, I don't want to see Mike like that. I know Mike is Mike. Iron Mike. That wasn't Iron Mike. That was like aluminum can Mike.
Still, if you squint. Keyshawn Johnson, ladies and gentlemen, Key and Jay Will and Zubin in the morning. Check them out. ESPN Radio, of course. Thanks, Key. Rockets and Wizards pull off the big trade. Who got the better of it?
Max, the podcast.
So the Wizards and the Rockets, as you've heard, agree to a John Wall-Russell Westbrook trade. On the surface, you go, oh, those guys are kind of similar. The Wizards announced they're sending Wall and a future first-round pick to the Rockets for Westbrook. So that makes you realize, Westbrook is better, if you didn't know that already. You got to send a first-round pick with John Wall to get Westbrook, although Westbrook is 2 years older than John Wall, but he's not coming off a catastrophic injury. And at his best, he was better than John Wall at John Wall's best. And by the way, it's not clear that Westbrook still isn't at his best. I thought last year was one of his best seasons. Anyway, it's a deal that both players wanted, and it's been simmering for weeks. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports, Woj bomb. The pick is a lottery-protected 2023 selection, Woj reports. So lottery-protected, meaning they ain't getting a lottery pick out of it, but they can get a first-round pick. So what does this superstar trade mean for James Harden and Bradley Beal? Well, for Bradley Beal, the Wizards go from an afterthought. Don't forget, 3 or 4 years ago, whatever it was, like who was going to win the East? You thought, well, the Wizards have the best player in the East. You know, this is when it was DeRozan and not Kawhi on Toronto, before the Celtics were really good. Giannis was still improving. You know, Embiid was still a baby. You start looking around, you go, the best player in the division or in the conference is John Wall. Bradley Beal's up and coming, and maybe the Wizards. Long time since then, right? Because John Wall never could develop an outside shot. Shot 32%, shoots 32% from three. It's not awful, but it's not good enough for the position. He's not a shooter from distance. But he did everything else really well. Although, I'm trying to remember, it was Coach Fizz. On when he was working on ESPN, showed why the Wizards were having success without John Wall. It's that he's so good running these, I think it was the high screens, right? Like the pick and rolls that if they got the rebound, they would just do it again and again and again and again. And there wasn't a lot of diversity in the attack. And without John Wall, they were forced to play differently and it was actually good for them. Whatever the case may be, John Wall it's unrealistic to expect he'll ever be as good as he once was, and what he once was never as good as what Russell Westbrook is right now. So who got the better of the deal? The history of the NBA is always, team that gets the best player in the deal wins the deal. Washington wins the deal. Now think about this. The Wizards go from an afterthought, because Beal and Wall were always less than the sum of their parts anyway. They go from an afterthought to, wait, Kemba's not going because of his knee? Hayward signed away? Bogdanović didn't wind up in Milwaukee. Toronto's going to be good, but not great. Right? You start looking around, Philadelphia's going to be good. You start looking around, and you go, the Wizards go from, they ain't even making the playoffs, who cares about Washington, to, ooh, they're live. Is that the best backcourt in basketball? Chris Paul, Devin Booker would be one for me. But Chris Paul's 132 years old. Like, one of these years, he's going to slow down. He already has slowed down a little bit, but he's still great. And Devin Booker is like a little mini Kobe. He scores from anywhere, like you know, young Kobe. But, you know, not his talent is not pitched as high as Kobe Bryant, but he's similar in that way. Poor man's Kobe. And not a poverty-stricken man's Kobe, by the way. Booker can really play. 8-0 in the bubble. It's not like scoring a lot of points. Like the year Kobe dropped 81 in a game, they needed all those 81 points to win. Kobe was scoring in a winning effort. Devin Booker's dropping big numbers for a team that was winning, that was undefeated in the bubble, and now they got Chris Paul. Right? But and that backcourt, I'd say, is number one in basketball because Klay's hurt. So no Steph Klay. And they'd be giving Steph and Klay a run for their money anyway. Name another backcourt right now better than Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal. Go ahead, name another backcourt. I don't think there is one. I think this is the second best backcourt in basketball, and we'll see if it's not the best. Now, all of the sudden, the Wizards are going to make the playoffs, and they're going to be live in the playoffs. They're not going to get out of the East, but they're going to be live. They're an interesting team again. And furthermore, they're one move away from looking at them and going, whoa, hold on a second. I know we shouldn't be talking about NBA title and the Wizards, but I know that sounds ridiculous, right? But what if there was an Oladipo-level player on the trading block? Because maybe Oladipo will be on. But, like, what if a guy like that, and I know the skills are somewhat redundant, so maybe not Oladipo, but someone like that, another 4.5 star, all-star plus but not quite MVP player, what if a guy like that is acquired by Washington? Now all of a sudden you go, oh, wait a minute, they got three dudes who can kill you. Washington clearly wins the trade. Meantime, the Rockets, I don't get this. Yeah, they get a lottery-protected first-round pick, so it's not going to be a lottery pick. And John Wall, with a terrible contract, who's, you know, doesn't shoot it well enough to be a superstar and is now no longer physically, it appears, at his best. He's a brilliant passer. Like, John Wall is kind of a genius. Like, when you watch him, you go, oh, my God. But somehow it doesn't translate to being an MVP-caliber player. He's a beautiful passer, can start and stop on a dime, change direction, handle. Like, what doesn't he have other than a shot? And his shot is better than Westbrook's. Like, he can shoot it, just not really well enough. But he's past his prime now. He has an onerous contract, a burdensome contract. And that's not going to keep James Harden in Houston. Harden's out of there. So what is this really, what is Fertitta signaling, the owner here? You let Morey walk out the door. If Daryl Morey ever came into my office and I was the owner of a team, he's like, I want out. I'd be like, hold up, Daryl. What can I do? Whatever I did, I'm sorry. Here's some more money. Stay right here. Well, Daryl Morey never won a championship. You understand? They had nothing. Daryl Morey surveyed the landscape, saw James Harden as an undervalued commodity. He wasn't considered a superstar. He was a six man. Picked him up for a song. And then got a coach who played extreme kind of analytics, right? But as a result of that, well, they never won a championship. That's right, Harden choked. And I've been on him for that. However, that Rockets team got to a Game 7 against a fully loaded Warriors team with KD, with Klay, with Steph, with Dre, with everyone. They got to a Game 7, and it was at Houston. Think about that for a second. Now, I got on Harden because had he had just a normal shooting night, they'd have beaten the Warriors. But you know why? Because Daryl Morey's the GM, and he had them playing the most efficient. It was ugly, but it was the most efficient brand of basketball. Well, this is how the rest of the world lives. Remember when I said Tom Brady's finding out, not how the other half lives, how everyone else lives who doesn't have Belichick, who makes fewer mistakes than everyone else? Now Houston and Fertitta and everyone is going to find out what it's like when Daryl Morey's not your GM. Bradley Beal in a first-round pick. Let me tell you something. Harden's going to be out of there. And they're going to have a three-year rebuilding process. And during that time, John Wall will hopefully give you something to watch. Because that's it. Houston, like the days of Houston being a powerhouse in the West are over for the time being. Over. Yeah, Washington clearly won the trade.
Max, the podcast.
All right. Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Tony in Los Angeles. You're on the Max Kellerman Show. Go.
Hello, my buddy Max. How are you doing today?
Good.
Good, good. Listen, I want to get your take yesterday. I really think, I want to know what you think about John Harbaugh being terminated from Baltimore. I'm looking at his stats since 2012, his Super Bowl year. He has missed the playoffs, I think, four out of the past 7 years. This year in total offensive rankings, they're 31st in the league in total passing. 2019, they're 24th in total passing. 2018, 23rd in total passing.
Okay, but his quarterbacks have been Flacco and Lamar, and these guys are not known primarily for their accuracy, you know, throwing the ball. And here's the thing. News from Max Kellerman Nation. Tony just hit us up on the document.
Max, the podcast.